Get Up with Ned and Josh on Hit 104.7.
I got to put my hands up in here.
Ned.
I'm here.
Did you see the news this morning about Donald Trump and his speech at the UN?
I saw it this morning. I didn't see it last night. That's how new it was. I went to sleep by at like 11, and when I woke up this morning, it was news. So this is very recent.
So he did a speech at the UN General Assembly, had a bit of a chat, as the US president sometimes does at the UN General Assembly. But there was a comment that he made that got a bit of a weird reaction from the crowd.
My administration has accomplished more than almost any administration in the history of our country. America's so true. Didn't expect that reaction, but that's okay.
So what you're hearing there, obviously there's a lot of room noise, but what you're hearing there is many countries' delegates started laughing when he said that his administration had achieved more than any administration possibly in the history of America. So actual laughter. Now, remember on the campaign trail and even recently in rally speeches, Donald Trump talks about how the world used to laugh at America.
Yep.
Like, oh, they're taking advantage of economically. They're laughing at us. And he was speaking.
He was talking metaphorically.
Like, now they actually are.
They literally are
laughing at the leader of America now, which I don't think is a common thing. I don't think that's... I mean, George W. Bush used to have gaffes where he'd say things wrong and people would laugh and stuff like that.
People were laughing because he just fumbled over stuff.
Said something wrong. Not at the premise of what he was saying.
My administration has accomplished more than almost any administration in the history of our country.
To general giggling and then... Look, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
If anybody out there is a Trump supporter, it started as a general giggle and then as more people saw people, it just was a spiral thing.
Like that is ridiculous.
It was a domino effect of laughing at the laughing and then it all went on.
Well, because you know why it's not the George W. Bush thing? Is because, honestly, in terms of Donald Trump, he spoke very well. He spoke very, informatively. He spoke very strongly. So nothing he's saying is silly. It's just actually legitimately what he is saying
is
laughable.
The premise is laughable to other world leaders. Now, look, this is becoming more and more common, weird stuff like this happening with President Donald Trump.
Yep.
And it's getting to a point where we're almost desensitized to it. Like, the UN General Assembly laughing at Donald Trump has made news, but it's sort of drifting already off the front pages, and it's not that big of a deal. So what I thought I'd do is get some, obviously this is going to be hammed up a tiny bit, but I'll get some sitcom laughter. Right? So just
very
a little
good,
bit of laughter
Seinfeld-y.
There.
Yeah,
by the way, I'm going to keep that if we ever do a bad joke on this show. I mean, which
please don't.
Every single time we talk, pretty much.
Yes.
But what I'm going to do is get some other presidential speeches, and just for context, just so we can all remember how weird this is, I'm going to add laughter to the back of them and just see if you can go, you know what? That isn't how that's meant to go.
That doesn't sound right at all.
Have a bit of a listen to this, but we'll modify it slightly.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
It's a bit jarring. Mm. That's not something you'd expect to hear, is it?
Seems like the punchline of a joke that I don't get.
I don't understand. That shouldn't be funny.
It's like when I watch The Big Bang Theory. I'm like, why is everyone laughing? That doesn't make sense.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Again, very, very jarring. Not something that's meant to happen.
It's almost the polar opposite of what happened when he said that.
Everyone was pretty happy about it, to be honest. Have a listen to this.
Let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
And that one, given the context of what he was talking about, that would have been downright terrifying if people had laughed at that. So, here's the thing, right? Here's the thing.
Yeah.
Let's all remember that the entire UN laughing at the president is not normal, okay? That's not normal.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh, the best radio show featuring two guys named Ned and Josh. Probably.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.
Ned, something that is definitely happening right now is the Wednesday work file, where we catch up with someone around Canberra. It's a pretty unique, pretty interesting job, and we ask them some questions about it.
That's right. If you've missed it at any point, we've spoken to people like zookeepers, people that fly hot air balloons, chocolate makers.
The CEO of Casino Canberra.
A CEO of a casino. Anything that we can find that we think is interesting that you might have a couple of questions for when you first hear that job title, that's what we're looking for.
What about a coach at the Australian Institute of Sport? Somebody who works with the most elite athletes in the country, some of the most elite athletes in the world.
Yep.
I'd love to hear about that.
That would be amazing, especially ahead of NRL and AFL Grand Finals.
You know what's lucky for us?
Yep.
We have Michael Speranza on the line waiting to answer some questions right now as part of the Wednesday work file with an AIS strength and conditioning coach.
Lifting the lid on the most fascinating jobs from around the region.
It's amazing.
It's Ned and Josh's Wednesday work file.
Good morning, Michael. How's it going?
Good morning. How's it going?
Yeah, not too great, bad. Thank you, mate. Look, first question to you is obviously, how much pressure is on someone in your profession to be in good shape yourself?
massive amounts of pressure. It's always a tough thing when you try and deal with physical specimens with athletes, and if you're a bit sloppy yourself, you mightn't get that message across.
Yeah, right.
but when you're spending a lot of time trying to write programs and coach yourself, sometimes you do struggle with a bit of time to train.
100%. It's not your full-time job. It's their full-time job.
Yeah. Well, Michael, because you train people for sports, what's the hardest sport that you can train someone for? What's the hardest sport that you think is...
What does the most damage to the human body?
Yeah.
I got to work with a downhill skier.
Ooh.
And that sport is nuts. So she came in, I've got to work with her second ACL reconstruction, and they just go real fast and crash. And they have no real understanding or fear for what they do.
I was going to say, yeah, because I'd look at the side of a mountain and go, no. Yeah. And they look at the side of a mountain and go, yes.
Not only am I going to go down this, I'm also going to ski down it. I'm going to push myself forward down this hill.
Well, that's very interesting. I was not expecting that sport. Yeah. Michael, what's something that you would give as advice to just everyday people who aren't athletes? Obviously, you're very intimately acquainted with what people can do to build themselves up to be stronger. What's something that people who, say, work in an office could be doing to prepare themselves better for just old age or something like that?
Yep. The bigger one I see here is inconsistency.
Right.
So if you can be consistent with your training, and even if you're just hitting little bits here and there, and it's better than just slopping on the couch for 2 weeks and thinking, oh, okay, now I need to train my butt off. So that's a big one. Just stay consistent and just take little bits of what you can do when you can do it.
This is the thing, like consistency, you do hear that a lot from coaches. Have you ever seen like a pretty talented athlete that just didn't have the motivation and the consistency was what probably cost them like a long career?
Yeah, definitely. It's probably one of the toughest things of our work is seeing these really talented athletes that just don't kick on.
They're
really talented and they're awesome at their sport, but just they just miss that little vital little bit. That said, the best thing of my job is watching these athletes that maybe haven't got quite that skill, but work their butts off and actually make it. So
That is awesome.
Yeah, that is fantastic. Michael, I don't know if you can even say this because I might be confidential, I'm not sure, but who could be picking favourites, but like who's the person you've trained that has gone on to get the further success in your eyes?
I was working with our world champion para javelin thrower, Jaden Sawyer. It's his birthday today, so I'll give him a bit of a shout-out as well.
Happy birthday, Jaden.
Legend of a bloke, and just worked his butt off and achieved something that he really wanted to achieve. So,
That's fantastic.
That is so cool. It's so rewarding as well.
Obviously, it's your job, so you get money. That's the first thing. But the second thing is this a very rewarding career when you do see stories like Jaden where somebody's just tried, put the effort in, and it's just worked out?
Definitely. We definitely don't do this for the money.
Yeah, right.
I'm lucky now that I get to work full-time, but I probably spent 5 or 6 years hustling, doing semi-professional football and netball and doing personal training on the side just to make ends meet. I do it because I wasn't very good at sport myself, but I love sport.
Right.
And you sort of fall into it, and their victories become your victories, their losses become your losses, and you sort of ride it along with them. So it's rewarding in that way. And just to put it back to my downhill skier, having her rehab with me and then end up going to the Winter Olympics.
Wow.
That's what you do, Michael.
That is so rewarding.
Yeah, so absolutely awesome.
So cool.
It's more than a job, and that's it. I guess people who are interested in getting into it wouldn't realize that. It does take more than just a degree or some knowledge. You have to work your way up, mate. Thank you so much for having a chat to us this morning because this is something I'm pretty fascinated about.
Yeah, it's so fascinating.
And,
it really is.
And good on you for all your work.
Cheers, thank you very much.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, They'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Ned, it's nothing compared to the thunderstorm of controversy that has erupted after Billy Slater was found not guilty of a shoulder charge and will play in this weekend's NRL Grand Final, which...
Yep.
Will be Billy Slater's last league match.
Yes, it will. People are very, very, very mad about this because...
Well, unless you're a Melbourne Storm fan, in which case you're pretty happy about it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, because he's the golden boy. But at the same time, like, I feel like a lot of Melbourne Storm fans that actually like the NFL more than NRL. Sorry, the NRL more than they like the team are going...
I don't think anyone who follows the Melbourne Storm is upset about this.
I think
everybody is stoked. Yes, 100%. But anybody who doesn't live in Melbourne is furious. My uncle posted on to Facebook yesterday that his son will not play league next year. He's gonna switch to soccer.
Which doesn't affect anyone other than your son.
That does absolutely nothing but affect your son. He now has to learn a new sport. That's ridiculous.
Yep.
My uncle is embarrassing the family with comments like that. But, Ned.
Mm.
There's actually a good side to this that no one's looking at.
Yeah.
And I'd like to say it right now. Can you imagine how insufferable Melbourne Storm fans would have been if the Sydney Roosters win the grand final and they didn't have Billy Slater? Because they'd be sitting there going, the week that we had, will we have Billy, won't we have Billy?
Yeah.
It was Billy's last game and now he's sitting out and everyone's upset about that. They would go on and on and on about that being the reason they lost the grand final.
Mm.
And now... that can't happen. So if the Sydney Roosters win, it'll be fair and square, 100% fair and square.
But then won't the Sydney Roosters be upset because they're like, he should have been out, now he's in. So it'll be upset.
But that's brilliant because if the Roosters lose, they now have that as an excuse.
Yeah.
They can be like, you know what? There was all that crap the week leading up. We didn't even know who we were playing against. It's now a built-in excuse for them, and there's no more built-in excuses for the Melbourne Storm. So that's the silver lining to all of this.
There is a silver lining at the end of the day.
We were talking about this, right, though. Like, there is, if you don't play in the grand final, because we're talking about what happens if Billy Slater has to sit it out. Like, he wouldn't get, a ring or a medal or anything, would he? Because he didn't play.
No, you don't play, so you don't get a ring.
Jeez, that's rough. That is rough.
Well, it doesn't seem fair because you essentially led your team up until the grand final, and then just because you can't play, because let's just say Billy Slater wasn't taken off because he injured someone or because of the high tackle or anything like that.
Because he was injured.
Imagine if he was injured and he just couldn't play. Does he then not get a ring? Because maybe you do get a ring if you.
I don't know because I'm pretty sure you don't. I'm pretty sure unless you play on the field, you actually don't get the ring or the medal or whatever.
Seems unfair either way.
And you know why it's unfair?
Why?
When I was a kid and I used to play cricket, I'd sit out a lot. I would be last to bat and I would actually, if we were batting that, I would never actually get a chance to go out there.
If you were batting.
But I still got to get my McDonald's cheeseburger participation award at the end of it, just like all the other kids. I didn't get denied that just because I didn't actually pat up.
Yeah, so you think that your cheeseburger at the end of a cricket game is similar to something that would be a career high for someone?
I think there's a participation component to this for sure.
I think
just because you showed up, you were still there, you're still at the event, you're part of the team.
You should go and track down Billy Slater and say, hey, mate, would you like this ring to say that you've won the premiership? Or would you like a cheeseburger instead?
In your last season, you won the premiership ring.
Your last game.
This Macca's cheeseburger. Which one can I interest you in?
It'll be a tough choice for him, I'd imagine.
In the famous words of a young girl, why doesn't he have both? Yeah, there you go.
104.7's Ned and Josh. One is taller than the other. The shorter one doesn't want to be named. The taller one is Josh.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit MEJ.com.au.
And this morning, very simple question. After two friends argued about whether or not a song on the radio was a Bruno Mars song, one friend proved that it was using, I'm guessing, Shazam. The other friend went and got a gun and pistol whipped the friend.
These have been friends for 50 years. Yes. I don't think this will ruin the friendship either because it's just a pistol whipping thing. But
I don't think you can just pistol whip someone.
That's true.
I think it's pretty much a definitive moment in any relationship.
Well, because it requires you to walk away from the situation, retrieve your gun, and then also to think, I'm going to pistol whip this person. Whereas, if you just push them or punch them or something, that's a heat of the moment thing.
Let me be very clear, and I just want to say this in our friendship, our relationship.
Yeah.
Let's be very clear. If you ever brandish a gun in an argument at any point, that's it. We can't be friends anymore.
I don't think I'd ever be allowed to have a gun.
Good.
I don't think that's an issue for either of us.
Just wanted to get that cleared up. Yeah. This morning, 13 10 60, we'd love to know, Canberra, what's the dumbest argument you've ever been in? Be with a friend, your partner, with your family members maybe. What is just an argument you look back on and go, That shouldn't have even been discussion. Shouldn't have even been an argument.
Could have been super, super dumb. You can come on either side if you give us a call on 13 10 60, say, I was right, but it was dumb, or I was wrong and it was dumb.
Or you don't even have to take a side anymore. We can just go, yep, that was dumb.
Yeah,
that
don't
was
even dumb, tell us where you fell.
A dumb thing to argue about. Casey's on the line right now from Chris. How are you? Oh, Cassie, sorry. Cassie, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Very thank well, you, thank Cassie. You, Cassie. Now, did you have a bit of an argument with somebody and you go, you know what, that was stupid?
Yeah, look, I don't even remember what the song was, but I had a similar thing to the American guys. We got in a song, in an argument about a song at work, and a keyboard was thrown.
A keyboard was thrown in the workplace?
Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Oh, that's not good.
Yeah, because then it becomes like people at work have to get involved then. Because, like, well, you can't be throwing keyboards around.
Do you work in, like, a business, like a small business where it was just you and the person arguing, or you're in an office with other people?
No, look, we're in an office.
Oh, no. Yeah. Oh, see, that's no good.
And were you the one that threw the keyboard, Cassie, or was it someone else?
No, Meredith threw the keyboard.
Oh, don't name Meredith. Ooh. Oh, no, don't name Meredith.
No, you know what, Meredith? You shouldn't be throwing keyboards.
Don't throw keyboards
that's
around
bad.
Meredith.
You should be shamed for that.
Oh, no, okay. All right, then, Cassie. Yeah. Well, she's not in Canberra. Good. Okay. Who ended up being right? Who ended up being wrong?
I think we had to look at the song. It was like a Macklemore song, and she thought it was saying, I danced around with my pants off, and I was just like, no.
Yeah, and you weren't. Yeah. You ended up being right. Yeah. I got in a dumb argument with somebody once about whether it was Macklemore or Macklemore.
Apparently it goes to the Macklemore.
It is Macklemore, yeah. So I was wrong there.
But that's dumb, because that little girl on his first song was like, Macklemore, let's go. So he should have told that to that little girl.
Should have said, you know what, you're saying my name wrong, young lady, and you're going to confuse the whole world. Sam's on the line from Dunlop. How are you, Sam?
Good. How are you?
Not too
great,
bad.
Thanks, Sam.
Have you been involved in what can be just a wall-to-wall dumb argument?
Yes. So I was playing a game of Uno with a really good friend.
Mm-hmm.
I put a card down and she was like, no, you can't play that card. And I was like, no, you can legit play that card. Like, mm-hmm. This is how Uno works. And it got to the point where she flipped the table over.
Wow.
And then tried to push me down a set of stairs.
Oh, my God.
What was the card, Sam? Like, do you remember?
I think it was a draw four on top of a draw four or something.
You can do that.
You can do that.
Yeah, absolutely can do that.
I thought it was like, it becomes
a draw eight.
You know when you play just between two people and you use the reverse and it's just the same as a skip?
Yeah.
That's pretty on the nose.
Like, it might have even been that, like a reverse on top of her draw four or something. So
You can do that, though. I think you can do that.
You can't do a reverse four.
Don't make me flip this table, Ned. I don't think you could.
This is very well put in.
I was going to say, it's also worth about $30,000.
So. No, but I'm saying, I think we can all agree, surely, that you can't put draw four down, blue, and then you can't then go, ha, reverse, and then it goes back to you. That's not a thing.
100%.
Yeah, if you put a blue reverse down,
you can. Yeah, blue reverse, 100%.
What have you done here this morning, Sam?
Now this is another problem. I'm on your side.
How is that allowed, though? That's dumb. It's only plus fours on plus fours.
It's the same colour.
Okay.
It works.
Okay. I agree with
reverse
you, Sam.
I agree with you.
And you know what? I'm just going to turn Ned's microphone off because this is getting very silly. Thank you very much for the call this morning, Sam. And thank you for starting what I can only assume is several fights with people in their cars on the way to work this morning. So well done. Congratulations.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh, the best radio show featuring two guys named Ned and Josh. Probably.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.
And another massive song from this year sounded a bit like this.
That's right.
And Tom Walker. Shot to success. And we are lucky enough right now to have him down the line. Good morning, Tom.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm not too bad, thanks. How are you guys?
Yeah, not too
bad.
Very
well, thank you, mate.
At all. Great to be having a chat to you this morning. Now, you are in Australia at the moment. This is very, very exciting stuff. Obviously, been a little bit of a busy, busy last couple of years for you. Has it just been a bit of a whirlwind?
Yeah, especially the last year. I mean, we've done I think this summer we had 35 festivals, and then January to December, including the 35 festivals, we got 150 gigs.
Wow. That's incredible, Tom.
And I've recorded my album and finished it.
Tom, do you actually... This is a bit of a cliche question, but I've always wanted this with an artist who's made it as big as you. Do you actually forget where you are sometimes? Do you sort of have to do like a little write a note in your phone? I'm in this country. I'm performing in this city.
I know what country I'm in.
Good.
What specific region of the country I might forget time to time. I was in Germany the other day and I had no idea whereabouts in Germany I was. I just knew I was in Germany.
Just get the Google Maps out and do that location finder
Absolutely.
Thing.
Absolutely. Just a little blue tick. Okay, oh, there we go.
I think it honestly would be like a refreshing change of honesty if you came out to the stage. You know, people are usually like, all right, Canberra, let me hear it. If you're like, guys, where am I? I genuinely don't know.
yell the city back out at me. Yeah.
Has anybody seen my brain? I have completely lost my marbles. Let me know if you find them.
My, you know how you when you take your photos on the camera roll in your phone, it gives locations for where you are?
Perfect.
Mine are all in the exact same spot. Yours are going to be all over the world, all these different little locations.
Well, mine are all over the shop. I mean, in the last 3 weeks, we did like a tour of the US, then went to Mexico for 2 days, then flew back, then we're in France for a day, then to the UK, back to Germany for 2 days, and then flew to Australia.
Okay, wow. So, well, actually, joke's on us because you've got a very good handle on what you're doing.
Yeah.
Very well, you said, Tom, that you performed at festivals and stuff like that. Were you performing with any huge names that, like, kind of blew your mind?
Yeah, we performed with, like, a few big names this year. I mean, Rag & Bowman, he actually watched my set from the side of the stage.
Oh, wow, that's intimidating.
An amazing feeling. Such a nice guy as well. So, yeah, it was wicked, man.
Here's the thing. Do you get told beforehand, hey, Rag & Bowman's going to stand side of stage and watch you, or do you kind of, like, glance over and go, oh my God, here we go?
Well, I didn't actually see him. I just heard the crowd at one point were just, like, cheering extra loud, and I was just like, well, I must have done something cool. Yeah.
That's not what you want at all.
That'll mess with your self-esteem. And you sit there and go, oh, no, oh, it's not for me. Right, okay.
We'll come out. It's not for me.
Yeah. That's awesome, mate.
Well, Tom, because you have become so famous and you have so much sway and stuff like that, you did something incredibly nice for your dad, didn't you?
Yeah, I invited him along and him and my mum to see like a session. And obviously my dad's like massive into music and he's seen loads of orchestra stuff before, but he'd never heard the song that I wrote, and I invited him down that day to see them do it for real. And I think he was just completely blown away by the whole thing. He had a tear in his eye for sure that day.
That's absolutely amazing. The only thing I've ever done is show my dad how the radio works, and he's been like, that's all you do?
Yeah,
that's
pathetic,
mate.
That is. How do you get paid for this?
It's nice you got to have that experience with your father. Tom, this is so exciting, mate. Thank you so much for giving us some time this morning, having a bit of a chat to us. Congratulations on all your success, and thanks for coming to visit us here in Oz.
Hey, no worries. Thank you. It's an absolute pleasure. A nice one again for the support. I really appreciate it.
No problem.
Thanks,
mate.
Tom. Thanks, mate.
Cheers. Thanks, lads.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
131060, your weirdest stories when it comes to selling a house. Our house was an absolute pigsty and the people who walked through it ended up buying it. So I'm saying, you know what, the conventional wisdom of home selling might not be keep your house in showroom condition. Maybe people see a house and go, I relate to this mess.
Yeah, exactly.
This is how my house looks.
It's a fixer-upper. I can't wait to see what this looks like when I fix it.
Josh is on the line from Gordon. Do you have a bit of a weird selling of the house story, Josh?
Yeah, we were living in a house in McKellar, and my dad rented it out before we had our new place to move into.
Oh, my God.
So what did you guys do? You just couldn't did you live in your house? What happened?
No, we packed up, we left, and you got the tenants moved in, and we bunked at a family friend's house for about 2 months. There was six.
2 months at the family friend's house.
Wow!
I gotta say, did you say there was six family members, Josh?
Yeah, there was five of us and my girlfriend.
So yeah, right.
All,
yeah,
all up sleeping on mattresses on floors and.
Look, that's rough.
Here's the funniest thing about this. I initially thought this story was going to go in the direction of you just lived with the tenants for 2 months. It was going to be like a sitcom. You just moved in with this new family, and that's a lot of fun.
I think that is the theme of Full House.
Yeah, 100%.
104.7's Ned and Josh. One is taller than the other. The shorter one doesn't want to be named. The taller one is Josh.
If you have been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.
Time to talk about veggies.
It's time to talk about veggies and fruit. Okay, so when I was a kid, the excuse that I would use to get out of eating vegetables, which I really didn't like tomato, and I really didn't like, I didn't like parsnip either.
Yeah.
And I really did not like Brussels sprouts.
No kid likes Brussels sprouts. Actually, no, that's not true. I'm sure there are kids that like Brussels sprouts, and good on them.
Because I love all of those three foods now.
I do enjoy Brussels sprouts now. My dad said it had happened one day when I was four. I'm like, no.
Nice try, old man.
Yeah. You idiot.
My go-to excuse was I'm full. But then you corner yourself with, well, there's no room for dessert then. You go, don't you, how dare you use my words against me.
Straight into a very, very easy trap you set for yourself.
There is a new excuse that's going around that scientists are going, well, actually, there's some validity to this. Apparently, if kids are like, oh, I don't like my veggies, or I don't like my fruit, or I just want, I don't know, whatever. Apparently, it could be because they're intolerant to vegetables.
Not a thing.
Not a thing, guys.
Unless you're allergic to the food in particular,
yep.
I don't think you can just be intolerant to vegetables in general.
I just feel like this sets your kid up to be like, anything I don't like, I won't have to do, which is not what life is.
No.
But also, if I had known this as a kid and I was on the internet and read, so I can just say I'm intolerant to things and I don't have to do it.
Mm.
My life has just become infinitely better. I'm intolerant to doing housework. I'm intolerant to getting along with my sisters. I'm intolerant to eating vegetables. I'm intolerant to going to bed at 7 o'clock. I need to go to bed at 10 because my intolerances will flare up. Mm. I don't know what happens if you're intolerant to something.
Well, look, here's the thing, right?
Yeah.
So I'm talking about the way you've explained it.
Yeah.
I don't believe that's a thing. Being allergic to something, yes, I believe that's a thing.
So yeah, being allergic to things.
Honestly, how happy would you be if you're a kid that didn't like vegetables but was allergic to all vegetables?
That would be incredible.
I can't even imagine that life. I mean, I'm 27 now, but I can remember what it was like being 5.
Yeah.
Imagine if you knew your parents knew you couldn't have any vegetables. Yeah. Yeah. That was my only problem in life back in the day, that I had to eat vegetables every night.
Like, more ice cream, mother.
Yes, please bring me more potato cakes, mum. Just the best.
What? Potatoes are vegetables.
I'm so sorry, everybody. I did forget that. And I also forgot their potato scallops.
Yeah.
Shall we call it?
Yeah, let's call it.
It's the end of this morning's show. I got to go eat some potato scallops right now. Ned, coming up, we've got music from Shaggy, also The Killers and Kygo. Jem's going to take you through the next little bit here on Hit 104.7. I'm probably not going to be able to speak tomorrow with the rate I'm going, so
you'll just have to sign language me your words, and I'll have to convey that was funny. Josh made a very funny joke.
That'll be awful. So maybe give us a listen tomorrow from 6 a.m.
to find out what's happened.
Fantastic Wednesday, Canberra. Bye bye.
See ya.
Hit 104.7, Ned and Josh, the best radio show featuring two guys named Ned and Josh. Probably.
If you've been injured at work, act now. Visit mej.com.au.